Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Saving money and build the deck of your dreams. Now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining and more time enjoying your deck with UltraDeck Low Maintenance Composite Decking from Menards. It's easy to install, built to last, and you can get a free estimate fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Tom Dunn with you. Delighted to say we're joined by Declan Buckley and Mary McAvoy. So you think you're an adult, Declan and Mary. Love to see you all.
Hello.
Thank you. I'm definitely not an adult today, so that's grand.
I was just going to say it's great to be at the centre of this little, you know, triumphant of wisdom and experience.
I think it's a test, isn't it? It's like, it's a question. Do you think you're an adult? We'll see. Let's see.
I think the Easter Bunny would be more of an adult than I am.
Yeah. I think it should be renamed. So if you think you have a problem now.
Yeah,
way near what these two think you should do.
Oh,
back away from the radio.
Yes. Right, you've got to have something else to do.
Okay, we go to the first person who up to this, their life has been fine.
Yeah.
I have to sort them out.
Okay.
A listener says, I'm hoping you can help me with this. I've been seeing my boyfriend for 6 months and generally he stays at mine because the room I'm renting is nicer. The problem is the place he's renting is actually horrible and they've no working shower. He lives with his friends in a great area with cheap rent, but the catch is the house is incredibly old and run down and they don't have any hot water at all. When I first met him, he said this is being repaired. Months later, nothing has changed. So what ends up happening now is he just showers at mine. But it's now beginning to put pressure on our relationship. I have to work late and he comes straight over the second I get in the door expecting a hot meal and a hot shower. Gone up from the shower already. It's really, really annoying me. My housemates are not impressed either. We're generally pretty happy otherwise. And I do see a future with this guy. Had to put my foot down on this shower issue. There you go.
With nail and eye comes to mind. They'll everybody have to Google that. They won't.
I just love, I don't know this man or what age he is, but he just
seems a bit of a chancer, isn't he?
He's gone straight from living with his mammy to living with somebody else, does a hot shower and a meal for him.
Yeah,
I mean, just, can she do his clothes at the same time and get it over with?
This is the kind of thing, I think this problem's kind of confused me because I had to read it 3 times to work out exactly what she was saying, because she's not saying, this guy gives me the ick because he hasn't got a running shower in his own house. I mean, she's also not saying that their relationship is going really well and you know, she can see it all working out. She's in this middle ground of kind of ambivalence and I'm not really sure what she's saying. Is she saying that it's an inconvenience for her to have him coming around and have a shower? Or is it she's saying that he's just a waster and when he comes around, he expects to use her home for a shower because he can't be bothered to find somewhere where he has his own shower. And he expects her to make dinner for him as well. And then she's not sure. I found it quite confusing.
Yeah, I think she's kind of, you know, I'd say she likes him. I mean, he has to grow up here and go and find a place with a shower.
Yeah.
You know, but I think she's caught between liking him and knowing that she's been used. Do you know?
Yeah.
Not in a terribly severe way, but you know, she's become a convenience to him.
Yeah.
The flat has become a convenience to him. So I think she just has to say, look, you know, it's become not cool with me, and it's certainly not cool with my flatmates, and I like living here. So I think you should, you know, you maybe have a shower here once a week and go and try and find a place where, you know, with running water. Of course, the other aspect of this it is terrible that people are forced to live in houses with no running water. And, you know, in this day and age, that's another issue. But I do think she knows. I think when we're being used, even if it's not a kind of a really nasty using, we always know, yeah. And we can't put our finger on it.
See, that's kind of what I was getting at. I'm getting at that. I don't think that she can frame in her mind exactly what the thing that is bugging her is. Because I don't think it's just, oh, here he comes knocking on the door, like, and hi, I'm here. And before she even has her coat off, he's up having the shower, and then he comes down and going, what's for dinner, love? I think she's seeing that's not vibing well with her. And he doesn't seem to have initiative. He doesn't seem to have the interest in setting up a home for himself where he has, you know, Almod Cons or whatever you call it these days. So I think already she's seeing there's a certain unattraction or whatever that is, like an unattractiveness in that situation where she's going, I think he's nice to look at, but maybe he's just not the one for me.
Is it red card time? Really?
I think it's
yellow card time.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd be a bit harsher. I'd be a bit like,
black,
you know,
card.
It's been a long time, 6 months, and you're, you know, and he hasn't got, you know, let me phrase it like self-respect enough to be not sorting out his own shower. Then he just seems to have, you know, no, get up
that,
and go.
That's why I said Whitnail and Ive. I don't even know that film.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it is that kind of probably charming dosser.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, are you allowed to be a dosser when you're whatever age these kids are? Probably for a little bit. But what actually disabuses you of that lifestyle is coming up crash bang against reality. And sometimes that's just seeing, you know, a mirror put up to your face and going, this is what you're living like. Because it's a bit like, you know, not going to reach your girlfriend's house for a shower.
Yeah,
come on, grow up.
I actually think if she just said something, he'd probably go, "Oh, okay," and do it.
Right, well,
I have a funny feeling because it's kind of like when he doesn't have to think about it, he's going to keep on doing it. Do you know? And sometimes you have to tell people.
And there's a certain aspect of like just being so comfortable with somebody that you just go, "I'm coming around to yours, and sure, I'm just going to jump in the shower."
Yeah,
while
you don't mind.
And it's nobody cares. But in fact, she's got to say, as you said earlier on. Yeah. People do care. Yeah.
Yellow cards then. Yellow cards.
Red card for me.
And if he
starts saying this, there's no chance of getting Sky Sports in.
No.
Go to red.
Well, no, actually, if a fellow wanted Sky Sports in my place, I'd be very happy, as long as he paid for it. Because I want Sky Sports all the time.
Okay, right. Very good. So stay on yellow. Now, this is a very strange one. Honest to God. We were talking about breaking up engagements. This is a different kettle of fish completely. One of my oldest friends has asked me to be her maid of honour, and I'm delighted. The wedding is next year. There's been a load of planning and excitement already. The issue is I'm one of four bridesmaids and the other three are genuinely some of the worst people I have ever met. I cannot understand how my friends, even friends with these girls, and I feel like I have to bite my tongue because I don't want to upset her. The other bridesmaids have insisted on booking a really expensive hen abroad when my friend hates the idea of being forced to spend loads of money ahead of the wedding. They seem really shallow and are much more into social media photographs will look like without thinking of what my friend, the bride, actually wants or enjoys. They're now discussing pool parties and super clubs. I know this will blow the budget. My friend will hate it. I am stuck in the middle.
Are you really now? Yeah. When I read this one again, I was one of those ones where I go, where is the problem? What is the actual problem? The problem is that this letter writer thinks that she represents the bride's position without actually knowing it. Yeah. Like she's saying that this is what my best friend thinks. And they're all wrong and they're forcing the whole agenda down to this kind of pool parties and super clubs. I presume they're talking
about... Sounds like Bridesmaids the film. They're actually from Bridesmaids the film.
And she's not.
She's a bit more straight-laced or whatever, and she doesn't want to be in... And she doesn't want to be doing the kind of crazy stuff. But what she's doing is she's assuming that she speaks with the full... You know, I'm the matron of honour, therefore I speak with the full... power of the bride. This is what she'd like, this is what she'd hate, they're all doing something that she'd hate.
Yeah.
Is that really true? You know,
I suppose I took it from the other side because those kind of wands,
you wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't like it, so I just immediately put them under the category of dose and the you know what I mean?
Which isn't really fair though, is it, Mary? Now is that you're being
a bit
mean.
I'm not here to be fair.
No,
I'm here to be judgmental.
No, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And like, she's kind of damned if she does and damned if she doesn't. You know, she's either got to say, look, I think she's got to say, right, partly what you say is that her attitude to the bridesmaids, other bridesmaids, is not what her friends, the bride's attitude, may not be the same. And so she's just got to go. If she goes on this trip, right, and tries to button her lip, I am guaranteeing you, after a couple of glasses of Prosecco, I'm telling you,
And another thing.
Yeah. And you.
And throwing the table over. The table, I never really wanted to be here anyway.
Yeah. And it will really mess up the wedding. So, yeah. I mean, I suppose honesty is the best policy. Just, you can either go and, you know, sort of say 10 tickets of the rosary when you get tempted to tell them what they are, or tell your friend, look, it's not my thing, I'm not going, but, you know, I hope you all have a good time. Or lie through your teeth and say, my doctor's told me not to fly
I think this is about representation. I think this is about her thinking that she knows what's best for everybody, and I think that may not be the case. It also relates to the fact that some people are different people around other people. In other words, you know, what she's like with her long-standing, you know, we grew up together, and maybe because of the kind of person that the letter writer is, she behaves in a certain way with her. But when she's with her other gal pals, she's a bit more like Bridesmaids, the movie. And, you know, and this is a scenario where different aspects of her character, different aspects of her personality are coming into clash. Mm. And this happens often with brides, with the stags. And
I think she has to go, Mary. Even if she's horrified when she gets there.
Yeah.
Or
well, maybe what she could do is, like, say if it's someplace with super clubs, maybe Google and see what's the nicer sort of things that you can do in that area, and do that for yourself. And, like, just prioritise kind of coming down, you know, taking a deep breath and walking out of a situation where you were about to blow. And
I don't understand why she doesn't do it now. Why she doesn't say outwardly,
"That's very expensive.
I don't think the bride would like this," whatever the bride's name is. She wouldn't like this. Why are we doing this? And then the other girls can go, actually, she would. Yeah. We did this, blah, 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 you know.
And then
it all comes out into the open. Because the problem is that as long as this person believes that her own opinion is exactly the same as the bride's opinion, then there's a kind of there's a stupidity around the whole thing.
Or else she could actually go to the bride and say, look, personally, I really can't afford this. Can you? Now, be honest. Can you afford it? If you can afford it, great.
Okay.
I can't afford it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just because, like, that's...
Okay.
That's
speak
another
up
part.
Now, though. That's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Now.
Either
speak
up or either go and
or
just
to them. But speak up.
Develop laryngitis while you're there.
Speak
and
up. I'll give you some of the listener advice on the shower. He sounds like a waster, or he's cheap, a nice waster. He's still a waster. Dump him. It's a simple matter of taking advantage. If he's a good guy and you mention to him, he'll have no problem with it. If he does have a problem with it, he's a bit of an ass, no loss. Why should she have a problem with him washing himself in the shower unless he's up to something in there? Tell him to F off, give her a space, give an inch, take a mile. There's these fantastic lads and ladies out there called plumbers. Tell the useless sap to ring one of them. At least he's well fed and well washed before the romantic times later in the evening. What more does a woman want?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
That's proper advice.
See, I think
not again.
You're in your grand inquisitor role.
She's
not having any of it.
Tell him to get a gym membership for less than the cost of moving house, so he's accessed wherever he wants to shower. If she's so bothered, get him a new gaff on Daft, or confront his current landlord about the 19th century conditions in his gaff. It's all very good advice there, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but why should she do it?
Well, she's looking. She's feeding him and washing him at the moment.
She's lucky to have him.
Okay, give us your advice now, the bridesmaids, please. Ah, this poor man trying to make his husband, his wife happy, and it's all going pear-shaped. Number three is, my husband recently retired and he started taking up new hobbies. One particular thing he's taking his fancy is cooking. For our entire married life, I've cooked him his dinner every evening when we got home from work. He literally wasn't able to cook at all. But he did a 3-week course, and honest to God, he's prancing around the place like Delia Smith on steroids. At first, I was delighted he'd found a new passion, something that is so different from it. More recently, I'm starting to struggle with it. He now insists on cooking most of our meals. I feel like I've lost my own role in the family. In a strange way, it is like I am not needed anymore. When he does allow me to cook, he is constantly observing what I'm doing and giving advice. and how I could improve a dish. I find this so hard to take in good humour, considering he wasn't able to boil an egg a few months ago. How do I manage the situation without damping his enthusiasm for his new hobby? It just goes to show there's never a point where you're home and dry in any relationship, even
no.
when they're... You hit retirement.
Retirement is the biggest interruption of any kind of rhythm in any life, because usually the rhythm, if you're talking about an old fashioned, well, the way we do it now in the millennial era, but those people now who are 65 or 66, they have probably, he has probably been in the same job. They've probably had that rhythm going for at least 40 years. So it's very, very hard when that rhythm is interrupted and hubby's at home all the time. And I think what she said is, I've lost my role, is it? I think she said
that's
the problem. There's nothing about that. Now, hubby cooking and maybe using a separate pot for every pee, which is what men do. They can't see.
Do they now, Mary?
Yes, they do.
Well,
no man I've ever met.
You are in a dangerous mood today, don't you?
She's
not having it.
I'm challenging you.
I think, look on this as an opportunity to find your own opportunities and different interests. And also, you know, say to him, one day a week I'm going to cook and you're going to stay out of the kitchen. I won't tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. But go out and find an interest for yourself, because that's all really is going on, is that there's this huge change in the way they live their lives. And you just have to kind of stand up on the surfboard and work with it.
And when changes come, the first thing that people want to do is double down on control.
Yes.
And she's trying to control over something that really, I think, if she thought about it, she would go, I don't need to cook today. This is great. This is an actual, you know, one of the kind of aspects of our daily chores is now being taken over by somebody who thinks it's fun. Zippity-doo-dah. This is an amazing turn for the books. And if she says, well, I also don't want to give it away entirely, that's also completely fine, because, you know, if she enjoys cooking. But the thing about this is my role, I don't know, I'm not really down with that. I think I understand the feeling. I understand that. But I think that sharing these things, if he wants to do it, why is it not his role to do that? What does that mean?
Well, it's been her role for 40 years. So I suppose that she's trying to, you know,
navigate the new thing,
you know.
Yeah,
So she's just got to stand. She's just got to see, what can I do now? It's actually a great opportunity. It's a lot of change, isn't it?
I was a bit laughing at it to begin with, but I think they're in no man's land, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's a big shock for everyone, isn't it?
And I think that happens all the time.
Irritable, and they become annoyed with each other because suddenly they're in each other's faces all the time, and that's a whole different way of interacting and knowing somebody. And you know, they have to find a way to make that work for them.
Yeah.
And if making it work for them means that she finds a way to not spend time with them, or, you know, then that's what needs to be done. But it is actually, you can't go back to the way things were because things have changed.
You get advice, don't you, when you're leaving a job after 40 years? There is kind of counselling and what to expect.
But people don't,
how to change.
I don't think they ever put
dynamic.
Two and two together and say this is going to apply to me. I don't think they realise that it is actually going to impact them when they have to start this different life, you know. So,
and the alternative, like this guy could be down in the doldrums, you know, lying around the house, just kind of like a useless bag of potatoes, you know, and in a bad mood. And instead, he's going, you know, bringing a bit of joy to whatever he's doing. I think she's definitely missing the opportunity, as you say, missing an opportunity to take that time back for herself, to do stuff that she's never had the opportunity to do. And, you know, she doesn't have to be in the room, you know, what is cooking, you know.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, though, you know, when you
and
lose,
presumably washing up as well.
Yeah. But when you have a role and then it's gone, then you, for the life of you, you can't think what's the next thing.
Sure.
And I think that's probably what's frightening her.
But he's in the same position. He's just done that. He had a role and now he's trying to find some new way of being. She's going, his new role is eating into my role. So basically she might feel like he's just taken his problem and made it her problem. But
it just shows you how it's all interconnected, though, when you're married.
Yeah.
We have a solution, though. We have Fran says, I'll have him. The retired husband who cooks.
Yeah.
He can visit the cook and have his dinner and then he can go home.
Wow. And have a shower as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect circle. There's an old saying, be careful what you wish for. And on the hen party, I see this friendship coming to an end after the hen party. The chief bridesmaid will see how her old friend is in her new life and won't like it at all. I wouldn't like it either. I bet the bride will like it. She may have turned into a person like her new friends that her old friend just isn't going to like. There you go now.
But you know, I do think you can be a different kind of person with different people.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, just because you don't like somebody's friends doesn't mean that you don't like them. But you also do have to allow them to be with those people the way they are with those people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's very judgmental to say, I don't like supper clubs or whatever they're called. I don't like, you know, I don't like nightclubs. I don't like high heels. Whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's really judgmental.
Right. But for me, but it's not really judgmental. It's you're kind of stating your own preference as long as you don't expect them to go with your preference. Do you know? So that if you go away, I don't like going to a super club, ergo, you're not going to go to a super club.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So you have to allow them to have a scope.
Absolutely allow them.
You don't
them.
Have to go yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if you're in Ibiza or wherever they end up going, and you know, you have to kind of go with the flow, but that's what it is.
Go with the flow, definitely. Listen, I want to go to one more before we go because this one really fascinates me. We're going to go with the bisexual boyfriend, if that's all right. For our last one.
Oh, great. I don't mind.
I've been with my boyfriend for 4 months. It's been going great. I really like him, but I have a little bit of an issue which I haven't told him about and I'm not sure how best to handle it. From the start, he told me he was bisexual and I have absolutely no issue with that. However, I'm a straight woman and a very little experience of the gay scene. I had maybe been in a gay bar once or twice before we started going out. Now we go to gay bars all the time and I'm finding this experience a little unsettling. The problem is that my boyfriend is really good looking and very outgoing. A very definite idea of where the line lies in terms of flirting when you're in a relationship, of what's acceptable if somebody is flirting with you or your partner. In the past, I've known what I'm willing to accept and what I'm not willing to accept, but now I'm finding it very difficult to know what to think. Putting it bluntly, men are much less subtle about these things than women, and I found the whole experience being in a gay bar with my boyfriend eye-opening. Other men are very forward with him, and to my mind, he allows too much of it in the way of flirtation from other men. He laughs it off when I point out that a man was flirting with him, so I wonder if I got the wrong end of the stick or if I'm being disrespected. How do I address the situation without causing unnecessary offence? We're all looking at you.
Yeah, well, looking at me. Well, I'm not bisexual, but I do. I understand this problem because this is rooted in the idea that the straight woman here is looking at the men and automatically seeing them as being different from her. And she's kind of categorizing everybody else being this kind of different. And they're all the same and they're all speaking some language that she doesn't speak. And I mean, that's a great mistake to make. Making this kind of otherness the kind of central part of how you interpret a situation is going to, you know, cause problems for you. There's another issue in here for me, which is the idea that, you know, because he's a bisexual. By the way, sorry, let me interject here and say for a moment, I had to rationalize in my head, why are they in the gay club at the moment? I presume that it's because as a bi guy, he has friends who are gay and they're just hanging out with whatever.
Sure.
And it isn't that he's in there, you know, looking to get the attention. Mm. He's not in there, you know, looking to, you know, pull focus away from her and that kind of thing. Which makes it kind of difficult, though. It does make it, you know, she's probably... Would it be more comfortable if he's in a situation where she could also pull some focus and get attention as well? So there's a little bit of a psychological thing that's going on there for her. Now, for him, I presume he's in the relationship and he's committed and he's in that relationship and he's just there for out in public and he's just hanging around with people and she's just having a problem because he's getting attention. That's what this boils down to for me. If what I said earlier on is true.
Yeah.
Like, if he's in there and he's no reason to be there other than he's just dragging her into a club, then... That's a bit weird.
That thing about men being less subtle about these things.
Yeah, well, that
women,
is true.
That is true.
Well, I mean, straight men are the most unsubtle, and gay men are a little bit more cagey. And then girls play these kind of like, "Oh, who me? Yeah. I'm not," you know. Yeah. And that's just the way that's a gross generalization, by the way. But the bottom line is that, you know, and it's the game of love or whatever you call it is messy and stupid, and who's giving what signals, and everybody else. Yeah. No, you have to buy me a drink before I know you're interested, and all that kind of nonsense. But if somebody's flirting or even just making eyes at somebody, it doesn't mean anything's happening. And people just like that vibe.
Well, I know, but I was thinking about this, and you know, if I just said, right, just say they were in, or putting myself in her situation, and instead guys that was around my boyfriend, there were girls around my boyfriend. Yeah. There's a certain boundaries, I think, if somebody's in a relationship. You know, there's a kind of a, well, in my talk, girl code, that you don't embarrass the partner of a person by flirting outrageously with
when you know they're in a relationship, which is why there's a lot of other coded things that happen around, you know, girl code, where people go out in these groups, and we've talked about it on this slot before, where people go out in pairs and all the guys are meant to go over and sit in one table while the girls have their gossip and whatever it is, and it's a way of keeping the lads nearby but not so near that they wreck their buzz, and it's a way of holding everybody together, whereas you're in a situation where you don't know whether somebody is single or not, and all you're doing is looking at them, and then
yeah,
you know, and if you're the boyfriend or the girlfriend of that person who's not feeling like this is your space, you feel doubly threatened. Mm. And that's what I was pointing out. It's the double threatening of not feeling like the gay bar is your space.
Mm.
And then also not being happy
sure.
that somebody is sniffing around
you. So does she say to him, we yeah, bit less time in the gay bars?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's yeah.
I think so.
That's the answer. Yeah. Just go whining.
I would feel like, and I have felt, and there'd been only one woman maybe who knew that I was in a relationship with my fella.
Yeah.
But was still kind of going, hi, how, you know, it wouldn't be like twirling the hair or batting the eyelashes, but there would be a certain kind of intimacy or something that I couldn't put my finger on it, but it wasn't right. And there was a boundary being crossed. So I feel for her in that sense. I mean, I used to love going into gay bars and everything when I was younger.
Me too. Yeah. They're rubbish now.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well done for having the courage to date a bisexual fella, because imagine worrying about the other fella as well as the other woman. Jesus.
I mean, you know, but that's, you know, yeah, look, good for them. But the bottom line is that it's scurrilous to imply that just because you're going out with them and they're bisexual, that they're going to be running off at the nearest opportunity. Yeah. That's kind of it. That's
but I don't think she said that. I think she just feels uncomfortable and doesn't really know how to negotiate, which is fair enough.
And I think time is the main thing. Like time and trust happen, you know, in all relationships.
Bits of advice coming in. I don't know how good you'll find these. She should jump on him in front of the bar, in front of everyone, so they know where she stands, and she owns him. No, mark her territory.
I like whoever that is. I like
mark
this.
Mark her territory. Yeah, it's the only language men understand.
It's the only thing the gays understand.
Yeah. And then on the home cooking, have simple rules. The one not cooking sits with a drink, chatting to the one cooking. The one cooking decides the menu. The only comment about the dinner is thank you.
Yeah.
No, you see, if her problem is that he keeps on telling her things.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, irks her too. So let him, you sit down in front of the television now and you watch Rick Stein or whoever it is. And
I'll give one more just on the girl going out. Your boundaries on what is acceptable to you should not change if it is a woman or a man who may be interested in your fella. I think he's a jerk, or he wouldn't keep going to the gay places with her. Sounds like he needs regular large ego boosts. Whereas you should be enough.
But he could have gay friends and he's hanging out with them. That's what I made that clarification. If he's just going there for the ego,
one of them comes to the other bars.
Yeah, but I mean, fair enough. But I mean, you know, then you're knocking on to that. That's not as simple as that, to be honest with you. Sometimes straight bars aren't friendly to gay people.
Really? Still?
Yeah. Look at the news. The news is a shocking place for LGBT people.
All right.
That's not talking
about it.
5-3-1-6 for your text on that, or 087-1400-102. Mary and Declan, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
You solved a good few problems in the world there. Funny the rest of life was so easily solved.
We'll be here all day.
We're here.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Save big money and build the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining and more time enjoying your deck with UltraDeck Low Maintenance Composite Decking from Menards. It's easy to install, built to last, and you can get a free estimate fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.